All right. I would like to share on the intercession of the Spirit, but I think before we can understand the intercession of the Spirit, that, and I'm just going to share the verses. So this is going to be really the final teaching of the series I put together in preparation, prayer, and power. So I'm just asking everybody, if for just this one final teaching, if you will keep your mics muted. Romans is just the most remarkable epistle. It really is a doctrinal statement. It lays forth the great truths of salvation and then shows how, now that we're saved, what we're to do. Basically, the early part of the book of Romans talks about man's disobedience to God and how it doesn't matter whether people were Judeans or whether they're Gentiles, that all sinned, that all came short of the glory of God, that nobody really kept the law, and that instead of rectifying man's problems, the law just exposed how sinful we really were, and that righteousness is received by faith and not by works. And then the fourth chapter of Romans deals with Abraham, and it shows, you know, of course, every Judean would go back to Abraham as he is the great father of the nation, and they would have understood that that Abraham believed and was counted to him for righteousness. So Paul spends a whole chapter just talking about Abraham's faith and that Abraham believed in a God who quickens the dead. And then he closes the fourth chapter by saying that righteousness is imputed to us if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Now chapter 5 gets into the two Adams and how in our first birth we were identified with the first Adam. And in that first Adam, sin entered into the world and death by sin. And basically, because of our identification in Adam, we were all failures. And then contrast that with the second Adam, Jesus Christ. And as our representative, we are justified, we are made righteous, we receive eternal life. And so then chapter 6 really begins with how we're to respond to that. So the first question of chapter 6 is, what then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? In other words, if God's grace did all this for us, then should we continue to walk in sin so that God's grace can abound more and more? And the answer is, God forbid. And chapter 6 really begins to set forth the identification with Christ, that our old man was crucified with Christ. We were planted together in the likeness of his death. We shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. And that just as Jesus died unto sin once, just as he lives unto God, in the same way, we reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus, in our identification with Christ. And then it begins to talk about how we should no longer let sin reign in our mortal body or yield our members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but we should present ourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and our members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So there's the sixth chapter, basically, of Romans. Then the seventh chapter deals with the battle we have in the flesh. And you know, the thing I don't want to do, I do. The thing I want to do, I don't do. And this is a very confronting, reproving chapter, because it shows that even though we're born again, even though we're identified with Christ, when we walk by the flesh, we continue to have this struggle in our life. And when we try to fix ourselves by our own efforts, in our own strength, by following rules and regulations, and whether those be the Old Testament law, and it would be also true of any other rules and regulations that we impose upon ourselves to try to fix our flesh, to reform our flesh, we wind up failures. And this chapter really culminates, this struggle culminates with verse 22. We'll just read Romans 7:22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. In other words, my heart is to do what's right. I really want to live my life right with God. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this dead body? In other words, I am so miserable and I've tried to fix myself and I can't. And the harder it seems that I try to fix myself, the more miserable I become. And it really is where somebody gets to the place of realizing that they cannot do it. They've come to the end of their self. All their efforts have met with failure to the point that they don't even want to try anymore. And they just are in this place of the greatest despair. And then verse 25, and I love a couple of translations that I've read. It says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And one of the translations is, I thank God he has now delivered me. And another one, I thank God it has been done through Jesus Christ. In other words, this, as Paul's going through the struggle, and as an example for all, every believer, he's struggling, and he finally gets it. You know what I've been trying to do? I've been trying to fix myself. And what I failed to realize is I don't need to, that it's already been taken care of. I've been putting my focus on myself instead of putting my focus on the work that God has already done for me in Christ. So not only is the work that God did in Christ bring us salvation, bring us spiritual wholeness and eternal life, it is actually the great key to walking in victory in our life today. So that begins the 8th chapter. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And those next few words are omitted, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. The no condemnation has nothing to do with our walk. It has everything to do with our position in Christ. The condemnation was in Adam, but when we became identified with Christ rather than Adam, then the condemnation's over. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And so again, this law of sin and death is this thing in the flesh, this working against us, the thing I don't want to do, I do. And the law, rather than taking care of that problem, actually makes it worse. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which is the new nature, hath made me. And again, it's past tense. So this whole thing starts from the point of view that you have to begin the walk from the point of view. It's already done. You cannot walk and say, I'm trying to get it. I'm trying to get it. And yet, honestly, that's where most believers are at. They're still trying to get it. They're trying to fix their life. They're trying to live this Christian life. But it has to start from the point of view, it's already done. It's the same truth with healing. Healing begins with the point of view, it's already done. And then faith appropriates it. This is also true of our walk and our victory over sin. It's already done. And so instead of struggling to try to attain something, you walk by faith, you realize this thing has already been accomplished for me. And so we're building this context, and we're going to get to the intercession of the Spirit. But I think that when people have got to Romans chapter 8, verse 26, they've divorced it entirely from what's come before. But I think as you can see the whole pattern of Romans, you're going to see that it really fits with everything that's come before. So let's just keep reading. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. In other words, what the law couldn't do, God did at Calvary. God did through the crucifixion of Jesus. God did when he nailed, when they nailed Jesus to the cross. And God laid on him all of our sins, all of our sicknesses, all of our fears, all of our worries, everything that was against us, which was contrary to us, was nailed to the cross with Jesus. It's everything that we deal with has already been taken out of the way. In other words, we have to begin with the cross and realize everything was nailed to the cross, okay? And if you could understand the law, is and a great way to understand the law is replace it with the word your own effort. And that's what the law was basically all about. The basic way to describe the law is do it. It was all about what you did. And so any of our own efforts, it's the same problem. We're weak because of the flesh. But God sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and in the sacrifice, the great way of looking at the sacrifice, it is done. It is done. So we start with the point of view, it is done, instead of from the point of view of do it. The law says do it. Grace says it is done. And so he condemns sin in the flesh. And I think it's Thayer, what he says about that, he deprived sin of its power. And now this whole section is going to talk about walking by the Spirit rather than by the flesh. That the righteousness or the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. To walk according to the flesh is to walk by the old nature of Adam. It is to walk in independence from God. Remember the first great lie that man bought was, you're going to be as God. And that's basically the way people have been living their life ever since. They run their own life. They act as if there's no God. They only do what they feel like doing. And it's independence from God is basically what the flesh is. It's not necessarily what the people would think would be wicked. I mean, sometimes people get the idea of flesh is all that junk, all the coarse kind of stuff. But really, flesh is the nature of man independent of God. It can look very good. You know, the Pharisees walked by the flesh and the people thought that they were so righteous. And people can do things and it looks so good, but it can be totally by the flesh. It can be totally by their own efforts in independence from God. So to walk by the Spirit is to walk in dependence upon God. Okay, so to walk by the flesh is to walk by the old nature of Adam. To walk by the Spirit is to walk by the new nature of Christ. All right? For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, okay? But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And so walking by the Spirit also involves, what are we thinking about? What are we focusing our thoughts on? You know, Colossians says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, okay? To walk by the Spirit would have to include what kind of thoughts are we going by? Are we putting the thoughts from God's word in our mind? Are we acting on those thoughts? Or are we acting on our own thoughts? To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So we could either think about the things of the flesh or the things of the spirit, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Now, again, you have to remember the carnal mind, it isn't, the carnal mind is not just thinking pornography or just thinking about, you know, how you can go out and cheat somebody. The carnal mind can look very good. It could be something the world would laud and say, wow, isn't there just the most wonderful person? But it's a mind that is thinking is independent of God. It's not subject to God. So the carnal mind is enmity against God, whether it looks good to the world or not, doesn't matter, because it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. That's what it said. When we walk by the old carnal way of thinking, independent self-sufficiency, we cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, these two verses are really great, because they're going to tell us something about the spirit that he's talking about. And this spirit of God, or the spirit from God, it says it is the spirit of Christ, and it is Christ in you. So that's what the spirit that we have received is. It is the Spirit of Christ. It is to have Christ in you. So here in Romans, he in this section of walking by the Spirit, he describes exactly what he's talking about, which is this Spirit of Christ, Christ in you. Then to walk by the Spirit is to walk by the Christ in you. It is to go by that nature. I think sometimes people, it's so easy to get a misunderstanding of the Spirit and to think it's this heavy stuff, like, boy, getting these revelation and great visions and ministering healing and doing this and doing that. Now, yes, I think all of that stuff will be involved and will come about as you walk by the Spirit. But really, the walking by the Spirit, when you just get it down to it, it is to walk by the nature of Christ. It is to, instead of walking by the nature of Adam, it is to walk with the greatness of the Christ in you. All right? So when we look at walking by the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. So when you're walking by the Spirit, you're going to see that kind of fruit in your life. Okay? And so the Spirit of Christ in you. And then it says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. And this isn't talking about, and this whole section is not talking about the future. We're going to get to that. But this is really talking about our life right now. Our life right now. And I think it's the Phillips translation, it's the best along those lines, that says, it will bring fresh, new strength and vitality into your mortal bodies. This Spirit of God that we have, boy, it even quickens it. It makes alive. It affects our physical bodies today. The greatest thing that we can do, I know, you know, we can eat the proper foods, we can exercise, we can do this. The greatest thing you can do for your physical self is to walk by the Spirit. Boy, there's nothing that will bring such strength, vigor, and vitality into your mortal body as to walk by the Spirit. Okay? Now, verse 12 says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Now, I want you to see here, he has never changed the subject.